Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, today, Thursday, the 21st of August, only another month or so left in our summer rainy season. And this is the case where we bring in our UA climate scientist, Dr. Zach Guido. We're going to hear from Zach in a moment or two about what happened.
Yeah, it begs the question, what rainy season?
What rainy season, right? We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, part of the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. We've got five radio stations here in one location. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for live, trusted news and talk. Have our worldwide live listening during the noon hour. We're live at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. All of our podcasts, pretty much every show we've done over the last 14 and a half years, is available there at buckmastershow.com. Also, when we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, joining me in studio to get the ball rolling, our contributor on climate, Dr. Zach Guido. Dr. Guido, assistant research professor at Arizona Institute for Resilience, known as AIR, which coordinates interdisciplinary groups of faculty, students, and projects across the University of Arizona campus, from climate science to public policy, law, the arts, water resources, and beyond. Hey, Zach, how are you?
Okay.
Well, you had to go. You had to go all the way to San Juan, Puerto Rico, last week to actually feel what it's like to have a few raindrops falling on your head.
I know my mood scales with the vigor of the monsoon, so I'm kind of grumpy right now.
It is. It's the strangest thing. And of course, when you were in on the island, I guess Hurricane Aaron, we're hearing so much about it. It's not hitting any of the continental United States, but, you know, high surf and kind of the usual that happens out to sea. But national media is making it sound like it's, you know, a monster.
Well, it is a Category 5.
Yeah.
And I do believe there will be substantial impact on, like, the coast of North Carolina, like high surf and that sort of thing. It is fortunately taking a trajectory that sort of misses, like, in, I was in Puerto Rico. I actually flew out the day that it was encroaching. I flew out on Saturday, and I think Saturday afternoon is when the outer band started lashing the north shore of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a little bit of it, but fortunately, you know, sort of it missed Puerto Rico. It was like maybe 150 miles to its north. Mm-hmm. I think it did quite a bit of wind damage to the U.S. Virgin Islands, although they probably dodged a bullet. But yeah, the trajectory is sort of taking it north, and like the main, you know, the eye of it and the main force of the winds is sort of out to sea. So that's quite fortunate.
Well, we haven't been so fortunate here with our summer rainy season monsoon. And I don't blame you for being in a bad mood when it comes to our weather. This has been I don't know. I've been in town 37 and a half years, and it's the most spotty. I think we had up at our place near Swan and River, maybe, I don't know, half an inch from two kind of moderate rain showers in July. I have nothing in August.
Yeah, it's been
very bad.
It's been frustrating.
Yeah.
And like I'm conjuring up the dark nightmares from 2020, which was like probably the worst monsoon on record, if not the worst. And when I think about this, I think about sort of regionally, so the U.S. portion of the monsoon. So in any one place, there might be actually better precipitation totals than others. But in aggregate, 2020 across Arizona and New Mexico was like historically bad. And this year, Arizona's rivaling it. And I think
it's like at the border, like something happens right at Lordsburg. It's like this giant curtain goes up and there'll be no rain in going east. Because New Mexico, I've had friends who've been over in the Santa Fe area. They say it's like as green as Ireland.
It's been a tale of two states. So, and part of the explanation for that is like our four corners high, mm-hmm. Which is really important for allowing moisture to come in from the south. Mm-hmm. And so when it's set up over the four corners, that's favorable for us. And it's been everywhere but that, mm-hmm. this season so far. And it's generally been more toward the east and southeast and over like West Texas. And consequently, it's allowed moisture to move into New Mexico. But at the same time, we've been, Arizona has been more favorable for bringing dry air in from the west. And so we just haven't had the conditions that are really required to create widespread storms. And so you talk about spottiness and like we've had moisture around at times. And
last night I saw some rainfall totals. Our friends in Oro Valley, if you're listening in Oro Valley, you know what I'm talking about. They almost had an inch of rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Just there.
Yeah, and just in Oro Valley.
So when we flew in on Saturday, so rewind a week, you know, I'm looking out the plane's window. It's like at 4 p.m. And there's a massive, like highly localized convective cell basically over downtown Tucson. But that was it.
Yeah.
Like we got it. We got a half an inch of rain in like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Knocked over trees in our park. Pretty like substantial like tree damage.
Yeah.
But that was basically it around.
We had nothing from that storm. Well, we've had nothing from any of these storms.
I mean, if you go around the Southwest, if you go around Arizona, it's pretty bleak. So we have 103 measuring stations, weather stations that we sort of monitor, and in Arizona and New Mexico.
Okay.
And 86 of them are reporting below average.
86 of 100?
And 3.
Wow.
So 17 above average. So that's a pretty negative picture. Those 17 are probably all in New Mexico.
Mexico, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if we look at, let me just give some numbers here.
Okay.
So in Southeast Arizona. So Tucson is about 50% of what it normally would have at this time. That's at the airport. So it's, you know, up through like near the end of August, it's close to 4 inches. We've got under 2.
Uh-huh.
Nogales, you know, gets more. So we've got about 4.6 inches in Nogales, and it normally gets 7. Safford is about a half an inch. It normally gets, you know, close to 2.5. Sierra Vista has gotten a little bit over 4 inches. It gets close to a little bit more than 6 inches.
Hmm.
I mean, Wilcox is below, Picacho Peak, Ajo hasn't received any.
Look at Phoenix. What have they had at the airport at Sky Harbor? What have they had, like a trace?
Yeah, like I think like a tenth of an inch or
for the whole summer, folks.
Yeah.
That's not good because we're knocking at the door here of September, and we get to September. Technically, the Weather Service says the monsoon is June 15th to September 30th.
Right, but September you have to qualify because, I mean, really the heart of the monsoon is July and August.
Yes,
And then you're just more into the vagaries of sort of the weather systems, and it feels a little bit more like a transition season, so it feels a little bit more like April and May weather in terms of the cycling through of low pressure systems and that sort of thing. And it's actually hard to get rain if you don't have these incursions of moisture from tropical storms.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have big Septembers, mm-hmm. and they are usually the result of an East Pacific tropical storm or hurricane that is decaying, and that as the track moves north, it becomes under the westerly flow, and then it recurves back,
mm-hmm.
and its remnants move into Arizona, and that can produce some substantial rainfall. But it's kind of hit or miss, and I mean we've moved out of the July and August like missing out on like 10 days of rain.
Yes.
So we're not going to be able to make that up.
No.
So, folks, I'm sorry, but it's just not going to happen this year.
Yeah, and there haven't been really the tropical storms, have there, off the Pacific area?
The, you know, so the forecast coming into the season was for slightly below average.
Yeah.
On in general, in the East Pacific and Central Pacific, there's about 15 named storms. Mm. The early storms don't have too much of an effect on the monsoon unless they move close to the Gulf of California and they actually like drive a moisture surge.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that happened. I could be getting the name wrong, but I think Flossie, that helped in July.
It did.
But, you know, actually the East Pacific has been somewhat active, normal. We've mm-hmm. had 11 named storms, nine in the East Pacific. But again, like really the ones that would matter for us in terms of actual rainfall. Well, I guess you can have those incursions of the moisture surges, but they happen in September. And so we'll have to wait and see. But we're sort of moving into what seems to be like a La Nina. And part of the reason for a suppression of the forecast was that La Nina conditions can sort of suppress our East Pacific hurricane activity.
All right, let's take a break. Dr. Zach Guido, the Buckmaster Show contributor on climate. Dr. Guido, University of Arizona climate scientist. And when we come back with Dr. Guido, well, what does September look like? Is there any activity on the horizon that could bring us some rain? We'll be right back.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster, Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch The Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona.
all made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tom, why don't you cue up a song? Yes, right. That's actually, maybe this will help bring some rain. It's titled Monsoon, and the performer, that is by Green Valley resident Roy Kinney, and the title Monsoon. Well, we'll do anything here. Keep our fingers crossed. Listen to music with the title of Monsoon. Bring in Dr. Zach Guido, our climate scientist. But we're not going to punish Zach, the messenger here. And Zach, with your contest where people predict what kind of a monsoon it will be, I guess most thought it would be very robust.
Yeah. We have a number of people that play like close to 500. We just ask them to predict, whether or not they'll be above average or below average rainfall. Actually, they have to predict the amount at five cities, and then we figure out if it's above average or below mm-hmm. average. So there's been close to 2,000 forecasts, and 75% of them were for above average.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are more hopeful than I think they're forecasting what we call wish casting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of disappointment. I can't shake the disappointment, to be honest.
Well, it doesn't help with the situation with our 25-year drought, because you've got to remember, and you know this very well, we came into this summer rainy season, aka monsoon, after one of the driest, maybe certainly the three driest years since they've been keeping records since 1895.
Yeah, and like because we get rain twice in two seasons, like if you miss one, if you get a dry winter season or a dry monsoon season,
yeah,
it basically puts a lot of pressure on the next one to deliver. And if you string a series of the monsoons and winters together that are dry, it does really start prime the landscape for fires. It impacts water supply, vegetation, all those kinds of things. So yeah, like now with this monsoon across the way it's been across Arizona, like it does put a lot of pressure on the winter. And the forecast right now is for another La Nina event. And consequently, there is just increased chances of drier conditions across the Southwest during La Nina. So we're actually not very optimistic at the moment. There's not a lot of signs that might make more favorable. So that's what we have, Bill.
Well, La Nina, I sometimes get a little confused with La Nina and El Nino. So were we in a La Nina and then we went out of it? It was neutral, is that as I recall, or what?
Yeah, so there's three stages of it, and it's all a function of what the average temperatures are in a particular region in the Central Pacific. And so an El Niño has warmer than average temperatures, a La Niña has cooler than average temperatures, and a neutral is sort of in between. And that matters because it's not just statistical, it's physically connected to our weather patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what happens in a La Nina event is the westerlies and the westerly storm track is pushed a little further north. And so we tend to miss out on a few storms per winter, and it brings drier than average conditions. It's not always the case, but the statistics, when you look at them, are favor a drier winter. And the opposite is true for El Niños. And then when you have neutral conditions, it's kind of all over the place. You can mm-hmm. have really wet winters and really dry winters mm-hmm. and anything in between. So to answer your question, that was a long-winded response because I'm trying to remember what was last year. We've had a string.
I think we were in neutral.
We might have been in neutral, but we also had a string of La Niñas, like back-to-back, maybe even like three back-to-back La Niñas. We've had a string of La Nina events, and it's mm-hmm. been a while since we've had an actual El Nino.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look that up. as you're talking okay. and see if I get that one right. But
yeah, well, while you're looking that up, what's been going on in Europe with these temperatures of 110 in places in France and Spain and Portugal? This is the second, maybe even the third straight year that Europe has been just like an inferno. It's been, and they're saying that it's going to be this, they are kind of, the climate change is impacting the Northern Hemisphere big time.
Yeah, I mean, this is the period in which, you know, heat waves become really, really quite consequential. I mean, everybody that listens to your show knows it here. Mm-hmm. Like, we're under excessive heat warning.
Right.
We've been, you know, I think a couple weeks ago.
This is about the fourth or fifth this summer.
Yeah. In fact, the other thing about the monsoon, when you get a really dry monsoon, is you just don't have the moisture there.
Nothing to cool things off.
Nothing to cool things off. And so I think right now, I think Tucson is running the fourth warmest on record. I think mm-hmm. Phoenix is the warmest on record. Mm-hmm. So that's another consequence of a sort of dry monsoon season. And heat impacts are increasingly becoming, I would say, recognized mm-hmm. and prioritized. So Europe, one thing that is important about Europe and actually heat waves elsewhere is the adaptations haven't occurred. You know, here in the Southwest, a lot of people grew up or live in this in these conditions, have sort of understand them, have mm-hmm. mechanisms to address them. Things like air conditioning, not everybody, obviously, because that's expensive.
In Europe, air conditioning had been very rare.
Yeah, so and then energy prices. And so, you know, it's getting warmer. We know that. That's a climate change signal. Heat waves happen. When they do happen, they're expected to be even more consequential, have more impacts. That's playing out. And so it really like stresses the importance of becoming better adapted to it and developing strategies that are able to cope. And that sometimes that, you know, that's about like cooling centers, you know, splash pads for kids, green areas, air conditioning, energy prices. It's really sort of a pretty holistic approach to dealing with heat waves. I don't know specifically about like the frequency and magnitude of heat waves in Europe. I don't focus on that, but every time that there's a heat wave around the globe, I mean, it's an opportunity to like think again about what are the impacts from a changing climate. And like one thing that is very clear, while we may not be able to say much here about future monsoon precipitation, it is pretty clear that we're in a world that is warming, and when there are heat waves, those heat waves will be a little bit more severe.
What about this high pressure that has just been so persistent, not only this summer, but really the signature of the past 12 months, even coming before this rainy season, was this persistent high pressure. Is this some kind of anomaly, or what's going on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think there's a lot of research trying to figure out like what the patterns are, the temporal trends, the dynamics are of like of jet stream mm-hmm. patterns. And basically, you know, if you think about like our westerlies, they sort of like circumnavigate the globe in these sinuous patterns. And when they come down, there's a low pressure. And when they go up, they form a high pressure. And the high pressure and the low pressure are sort of like rotating around. Now, when you have a persistent high pressure, your atmospheric flow is either sort of slowing down or it's stuck in this pattern. And I think it's pretty hard right now to find some attribution of what's causing that. If I step back, mm-hmm. like the whole climate system is set up to redistribute energy around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to do that is through wind patterns, westerlies, wind currents. The other way is ocean currents. If you change the amount of energy that's in our system, you're going to have consequences to the circulation patterns. And so you would expect there to be changes. And mm-hmm. so the challenge right now is to definitively say and to be able to like understand, well, like this is causing that. And that can be difficult in a very chaotic and complex system like the climate system.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I know we're running low on time, like in the summer monsoon season, like we're actually under a high pressure system always, you know, not always, but mostly, you know, and it's remarkable that normally in high pressure systems, it's hard to generate rain.
Mm-hmm.
The high pressure system is what produces the heat. Like it allows for stagnant weather and just this accumulation of heat. And so it's just a natural feature of our Southwest. And like the monsoon, if like that position of the high moves slightly more north, we get a more vigorous monsoon than not. But like a high pressure system is what we expect to experience during the monsoon season.
All right, we've got you scheduled for the final day of the monsoon. We'll see you September 30th, and we'll recap. Hopefully, we'll have better news from September. Thanks, Dr. Guido. All right, coming up next, Mayor Romero, Rahina Romero, will be our guest right after the break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studios. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, I hope our Green Thing friends got some rain yesterday. Some people did. like we were saying with Dr. Guido, almost an inch yesterday in Oro Valley. Nothing up at the Buckmaster Bungalow, unfortunately. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. And it has been a very dry summer. And those that garden, and I consider myself, I don't really have a green thumb, but I sure enjoy getting out in the garden. There are going to be some definite replacements necessary in the garden after this summer. So head over to Green Things, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, Zocalo Village. If you're looking for any kind of pottery, my goodness, Arizona's largest selection of pottery is at Green Things. All right, let's welcome now the mayor of the city of Tucson, Rahina Romero, joining us. Good to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me, Bill. Really appreciate you inviting me.
Well, the last time you were here, we were talking about the Regional Transportation Authority and folks that have been following this, and I hope people have, because it's a really big deal. The 20-year road plan, the regional plan, is expiring next year, and those that believe in regionalism, and I'm one of them, and I think you also believe mm-hmm. in it, want to let the voters have a say on the next 20 years of regional transportation.
Yes, absolutely, Bill. I'm in a very good place, as well as my colleagues on the council, because I think that this RTA Next plan is something that Tucsonans can get behind and support. For 5 years, Bill, and I think you've seen me go through this, I have been working very, very hard to get to where we are today. And my questions have always been about the return on investment for the citizens of Tucson, mm-hmm. and that the RTA Next plan needed to align with the needs expressed by our communities. So this particular plan is the answer that I have been seeking for mm-hmm. the last 5 years.
What makes it so special for you, for the city of Tucson? I say the city.
Right. One, and most importantly, that there is a path on how to pay for RTA 1 projects.
Which some of them are.
Most of them are inside the city of Tucson.
Right. And a lot of them aren't done, or a bunch of...
We have had wonderful projects
done, right? I don't know
how
many aren't done, but right? there are
but
some.
we have at least 15 projects that still need to be done.
Wow.
And most of them are inside the city of Tucson. And so for me, this RTA Next plan has a path to complete RTA 1 projects. It has funding for a new bus rapid transit system, which the city of Tucson has been advocating for. It has millions of dollars, I believe $140 million, for arterial and collector roads reconstruction, which is something that Tucsonans want to see. Mm-hmm. We have $53 million for safety and security for our transit system. We have many more dollars than from previously mm-hmm. Agreed upon for our transit system. It has millions of dollars to reconstruct Rita Road on I-10, money to invest in Marianne Cleveland. We see the explosion of growth in the southeast side, and so we want to attend to the road needs and the infrastructure needs that we have on I-10. It has many projects on the west and the south of our city. It has funds for our midtown needs. It really is the answer that I have been seeking.
It sounds like you'll be able to go to the constituents, as will, I guess, the council's on board too with this, and try to sell this to the voters.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have always believed in the RTA. I've always been an advocate of regional, taking a regional approach.
And you had some problems with leadership, but you like the fact that former city manager Mike Ortega really has done his homework on this thing,
well,
hasn't he?
You know, yes, absolutely. I think that it
but
shows.
But he had done his homework even before he had come into this role now as the head of RTA.
Yes, I really appreciate Ms. Ortega understanding the city of Tucson perspective, but he's also very fair. and wanted to make sure that we had a fair package. And what a difference an executive director makes and a few members of the RTA board that are new to basically get things done. And that's exactly what we've done. Every single board member on the RTA put their thinking hats on and really approached this, especially now with a new executive director, approached it as to if each jurisdiction wins, we all win. And so for me, I've been advocating for this for the last 6 years that I've been mayor. We finally have a package that I can support. My colleagues on the council and I on Tuesday actually approved the RTA Next plan unanimously. And so what this means is that we are going to see an item on the ballot in March of 2026. It's going to be a half cent, a continuation of a half cent sales tax and a 20-year plan that will have flexibility, because the RTA, the first RTA did not, will have flexibility to be able to pivot and move as necessary to get the job done.
What was the problem with tribal members and Dr. Hines, who, by the way, will be Matt Hines, who's the representative for Pima County on the nine-member RTA board. And by the way, he's going to be our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. I will not be here. I'll be on my way over to get cooler air in Monterey. But Paul Ingram of TucsonSentinel.com is going to be here along with Jim Nintzel, and they're going to be talking with Dr. Hines. So I'm sure they're going to ask him this. But generally, what's the county's?
I am so appreciative of Supervisor Hines and his partnership with the city of Tucson and with all of the other jurisdictions, including South Tucson and our representatives of our indigenous nations here in Southern Arizona. And it was our work together that really helped us get out of the rut that we were in.
But why did he vote against this?
Because I believe his intention was to really try and figure out what was the correct investment that we needed to do. He felt that maybe 5 years instead of 20 years. He also felt that maybe instead of a half cent, it would be 0.6, which would have been 10th of a cent more than the half cent. And then I wouldn't be able to respond entirely for Supervisor Hines.
We'll hear from him tomorrow.
Our Native Nations have been at the table from the start of the RTA. And I think that we need to make sure that they have also investment, a fair investment into both Pascua-Yaqui and Tohono O'odham Nation.
All right, Matt has called us on the live line, 790-2040. Matt, go ahead. We're up against the break, so make it real quickly, please.
Yes, Mayor Romero, first of all, congratulations on moving the RTA situation positively. Second, the incident at the U of A in the library either yesterday or the day before with the stabbing. You know, we need that cross-coordination between TPD and U of A PD, especially during this Parents Week. Lastly, is there any chance that, you know, Project Blue is dead for Tucson, yes. But Project Blue potentially could stay in the county.
Right.
If they can work with Marana, is there a way we as Tucsonans can also help supplement that with reclaimed water in some way to assist them positively? And also, we need the money.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Terrible incident at the U of A. And it's about Project Blue. We're going to pick up on that after the break. Any other quick comment there, Mayor?
Yeah, I think that in terms of safety and security is something that is first and foremost in my mind. And working with Chief Casmar and TPD, we do cross-collaboration with the University of Arizona Police Department. And so that is something that I mean, we don't know exactly. It seems like there were not U of A students. And so we need to figure out exactly the situation and then figure it out from there. But there's their mm-hmm. collaboration right now with mm-hmm. DPD and U of A PD. And we have a lot. I have a lot to add about community safety, but we can. I know that we're going to commercial. We can come back and talk about
it. We are, and I'll make it real quick before the break, and we do need to take the break. But you mentioned that in the RTA plan is for transit mm-hmm. security, and very much people, folks are very concerned about stabbing incidents at buses.
Yeah.
And they've blamed, you know, that it's because the bus is free, but yeah. whatever. But,
well, and if I may jump really quickly on that, Bill, I think that there are root causes of violence in our community, much to do with poverty and trauma. And so we, the City of Tucson Mayor and Council, are working on a prosperity initiative. And so, but... you know, this incident, stabbing incident, happened at the library, but yet we're not blaming libraries being free for a stabbing incident happening. So we cannot connect the transit being free to the violence that is happening in our community. And so we are not going to close down public libraries because they're, you know, a stabbing happened there. We're not going to close down free transit because there have been incidents. So we have a plan. We're working on it, but would be happy to talk about it on the other side of the commercial.
All right, let's take a break right here. More with Tucson's Mayor Regina Romero. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. We will be right back.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch The Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. When it hits 105, oh my goodness, it makes my job so easy to talk about Silver City, doesn't it? Look at that, 83 degrees at midday over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's not a bad drive at all. Basically, I-10 to Lordsburg, take a left at Lordsburg, head up the mountain. And when I say up the mountain to about 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation, you're going to notice a difference, especially at nighttime. Look at some of those temperatures, upper 50s.
My goodness.
Mayor Romero with me in studio. I know. Time to head over to Silver City. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Okay, Mayor, for our second segment together, we do need to kind of talk about post Project Blue, and caller Matt brought that up about Marana has said, has made some overtures, but with very tight limits on the water situation. Mm-hmm. What was the deal with the water or this new water ordinance that was passed by the council this week, right?
Yes.
Does that have anything to do with Project Blue?
Yes, yes. In all of the work that I did research, talking to other mayors around the country, mayors here in Arizona, and by the way, working with my colleague, Councilwoman Nikki Lee, that did a lot of research as well, asked a lot of questions, and it helped us all, right? And so what I saw in lessons learned by Phoenix Valley Cities is that they were starting to do these ordinances that I and my colleagues on the council gave to the city manager and our
city team. That was the beginning of the pushback that we've seen to some of these data centers up in Phoenix.
Yes, actually, mayor and council in our community, Tucsonans, made national news because even though many cities across the country had many complaints and concerns about data centers in their cities, none really had unanimously rejected one. Mm-hmm. And so I think two things. I think it's very important that mayor and council, we did our homework. And to be honest with you, Bill, I had a lot of pressure on both sides, right? We saw unions and the business folk line up on the yes side. And we saw the majority of the community saw what I was seeing, which was the concern of long-term water usage and investment. Because even though I know that we have reserved water and reclaimed water for now, my biggest concern was, what about 10 years from now?
Yeah.
And with the droughts that we've been living in, my concern was the long-term usage. Mm. And then my other concern, huge, that I heard from my fellow mayors, is the energy and power use.
Yeah.
And we, the mayor and council, do not have any control over our electric power. And so that was a bigger question for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the use of fossil fuels and the not lining up with our Tucson Resilient Together, our climate action plan, and our zero emissions goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I did a lot of homework, and what other cities are learning is that we need to create very clear ordinances that will help bring clarity to what the community needs. So, for example, the large water users ordinance that we passed unanimously on Tuesday brings up the guardrails and immediate protection to usage of our water resources.
So, so in a future kind of Project Blue, people would see if they said, well, let's look at the city of Tucson. Oh, they've got this ordinance. I don't think we want to go there.
And there's... It actually clarifies to any future either data centers or large any other large water user, what we expect of them. And then also with that ordinance, along with the land use code changes that I want and the zoning changes that we need, we are going to engage the community. Every, you know, stakeholder in the community that paid attention to what was happening with Project Blue, both labor leaders, business leaders, neighborhood leaders, environmental voices. I want to make sure that we engage them in the process. If we need to, we needed to pass the large water users ordinance immediately. But we also gave direction to work and engage the community if there are any changes that need to be made within the next 6 to 9 months. In those 6 to 9 months, we're also going to take the land use codes and changes and zoning code changes to the Planning Commission. It's a citizens-led commission that the Planning and Development Services Department uses. It's open to the public. It has call to the audience. People can engage there. And then bring back a clear ordinance, a clear definition of what a data center is, and clear ordinances of what we need. And at the end of the day, we also want to have mayor and council say yes or no. To a potential large water user in our community. So with Marana, and this is pertaining to
Matt's question about the water there.
Marana is its own town, and but they passed a data center ordinance that basically says you can't use our potable water. And so I don't have the details of what's happening in Marana, but I know that there might be the possibility of using farmland water and designated farmland water. It's going to be up to the mayor and council Marana and the community in Marana to evaluate that possible proposal.
How about getting back to the safety issue and only got a minute or so. Can we get more police here in town? Can we hire more
police? We are fast and furiously working to do that. Mayor and council have given the chief of police, Chad Kazmar, the ability to go out and recruit and fill the positions that are available. And so we're working hand in hand with him. We do have a plan. We did give direction to the city manager and the chief of police to come back with a safety plan for our transit system. Another good thing about the RTA Next is that we're designating $53 million in safety and security for our transit system. So we are paying attention. We are absolutely doing, and oh my goodness, TPD, and our officers are doing amazing work, not just in policing and investigation, but they're also incredible partners in preventing violence. Our VIVA program, which is our Violence Interruption and Vitalization Action Program, is a holistic approach to prevent violence. And so lots to talk about, Bill.
We always run out. The clock. Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
And I want to say a couple of words about my friend Tom Fairbanks. This is my last show working with Tom because I'm going on vacation tomorrow. And about a week or so from now, Tom will be leaving us. And going over to Texas, so to the Dallas, to the metro area. Tom, I've loved working with you. You're a pro in every sense of the word, and I want to wish you all the best, okay?
Thank you, Tom. Good luck.
We really appreciate you. All right, on behalf of Mayor Romero and Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.